Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Pastor James, as you probably know, has been laboring in James chapter 2 to help us distinguish between a professed faith which is empty and a genuine faith which is living. And this is pretty important. If you have a professed faith in Christ that is not real, that is not saving, wouldn't you rather find that out now than wait until after you die? It is vitally important that we understand the difference between a profession of faith and possession of genuine salvation. And what James is telling us is that saving faith is proved to be genuine by the fruit that it produces. Now, is there anything about that concept that differs from what Paul or John or Peter or Christ taught regarding salvation and regarding saving faith? The saving faith is proved to be genuine by the fruit that it produces. By their fruit ye shall know them, said Christ, and he said that in so many different ways. And so there really is no contradiction between James and the other writers of Scripture, but there are those who sometimes have thought there was a contradiction, but it's only because they did not understand clearly what James is saying, and part of the problem is a matter of vocabulary. James uses the word justify in a way different than the way that Paul uses it. And this is not terribly unusual. Different words, vocabulary words, can have varying meanings, as we all know. I looked up a word the other day in a fairly large dictionary and found 12 different meanings for that one English word. Now, the one I was looking for was about number 6 or 7. I was surprised, actually, to find how many different meanings there were. And I was also surprised to find that the meaning that I was looking for was so far down on the list. I really thought it would be number 1 or 2, but no, it was number 7 out of 12. And that's the way it is in language. It's that way in English. It's that way in Greek. And so it's understandable that there might be a little bit of confusion when James uses the word justify one way and Paul uses it another way. But when we clarify what the word means according to the usage of each author, we find out that James and Paul are teaching exactly the same thing. And so we'll continue this discussion on this Wednesday, May 9. We're so grateful for the opportunity to do so and are exceedingly grateful to those radio listeners who help us financially maintain this Bible teaching ministry on the air. Well, James has referred to the faith of Abraham and to an act of obedience that demonstrated the genuineness of his faith. When he says in James 2:29, was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Was he not justified by works? But James is not using the word justify in the sense of being legally declared righteous at the judgment bar of God. He's rather using the word justify in the sense of vindicate. Was not Abraham our father's faith vindicated by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Indeed it was. His willingness to sacrifice his son Isaac at the command of God was an incredible demonstration of the strength of his faith, of the genuineness of his faith. That's exactly what that was. And so James moves on to tell us about the dynamic relationship between faith and works in verse 22 when he says, "Do you see that faith was working together with works? And by works, faith was made perfect." Faith was working together with his, that is Abraham's works. Abraham's faith was working together with his deeds, with his works. Literally, his faith works. His faith was supported and sustained by his works. His faith found a believing solution to his dilemma. Remember, it is the writer of Hebrews in chapter 11 that tells us that when God told Abraham to offer Isaac upon the altar, Abraham believed that God could raise Isaac from the dead. That was his solution to what seemed like an insurmountable problem. Isaac, the son of promise, Isaac to whom and about whom God had made certain promises that required that Isaac live and bear children and have a lineage, have spiritual, physical and spiritual progeny. The promises that God had made regarding Isaac required that. Now God says, offer your son upon the altar. Abraham thinks God will keep his promises, therefore God must be planning to raise him from the dead. Now, Abraham's willingness to offer Isaac upon the altar is not what made Abraham righteous. He was made righteous by faith. The Bible is very clear about that. Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. But his willingness to sacrifice Isaac upon the altar was a demonstration of his incredible faith. That's exactly what it was. And his actions to follow through with this command of God to offer Isaac upon the altar was a demonstration not only of the strength of Abraham's faith, but the perseverance of Abraham's faith. Abraham not only believed God concerning the birth of Isaac and concerning wonderful promises that were made that related to Isaac, but Abraham continued to believe God even in the midst of this great trial. And indeed, that's exactly what it was, a trial of his faith, to be commanded to offer Isaac upon the altar. And so his faith was working with his works, as James puts it here. Do you not see that faith was working together with his works? And by works, faith was made perfect, or was made complete, or was fulfilled, are other ways to translate this word. By his works, his faith was strengthened. It was matured by exercising it in this way. Who would question that? When Abraham obeyed God, took his son up to Mount Moriah, and laid him on the altar and raised his knife, and then God stopped him and provided the substitute in the place of Isaac, do you think that Abraham's faith was anything but strengthened, fulfilled, made more complete, more strong out of that act of obedience, out of that demonstration of his works? Of course it was. His faith was thereby completed, perfected. His faith achieved its intended purpose, and it was now stronger than ever before, because his faith was brought to its goal, namely to demonstrate Abraham's complete and utter trust in God. In the same way that the fulfillment of an apple tree is its apples, so the works of a believer are the fulfillment of his faith. Faith, if it is genuine, produces fruit. Abraham's offer of Isaac upon the altar, or his near offer, he offered him, he gave him up, he was willing to do it, and so, in a sense, he offered Isaac upon the altar, and God stopped him from killing him at the last moment. But as far as Abraham's obedience was concerned, his intentions were concerned, his surrender to God were concerned, he gave up his son. He offered him up upon the altar without holding back, without arguing. I started to say without hesitation, and I think that's true. There's no indication that Abraham hesitated in his implicit obedience to God. And that act of obedience was the fulfillment of Abraham's faith. This is what faith produces. Faith produces works, which is exactly what Paul teaches. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. And that's the fulfillment of the verses that go immediately before verse 10 of Ephesians chapter 2, which is, in fact, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." But what is the fruit, the fulfillment, the completion of this faith that saves? It is works, fruit. And that's exactly what we see in the life of Abraham. How would we know of Abraham's faith if we did not see it manifested by his works? How would we know that Abraham believed God when God called him out of the Ur of the Chaldees to leave his home, to leave his family, and to go to a land that God would show him? How would we know that Abraham believed God except that he obeyed God? In what sense could it be said that Abraham believed God if he refused to obey God? God said, "Leave and go to the land that I will show you." And Abraham said, "I believe you, God. I believe exactly what you say. I'm trusting you, I'm believing you, but I'm not willing to go." Who in his right mind could say that that is faith by any stretch of the imagination? But was it Abraham's works that justified him before God? No, it was his faith. But faith, when it is genuine, always produces works. You say, what works? Whatever works are appropriate to that particular area of faith. If God said, "Leave the Ur of Chaldees and go to a land that I will show you," and faith believes the promise of God, the only way to demonstrate it is to pack up and go. The works demonstrate that you believed God in that particular area. If God says, "Offer your son Isaac upon the altar," the only way to demonstrate that you believe God and trust him in that command is to take Isaac and go. And that's exactly what Abraham did. May God give us the same kind of faith. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.